Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Our guest on this edition of the Small Biz Brain learned everything he knows from people, service, and sales on the restaurant floor. And if you're in sales, Stefan Lubinsky is your new best friend. After more than a decade in service industries, he understands the challenging nuances of the sales process in a way that is uniquely his own. He's been a real estate entrepreneur, executive recruiter, and today he's an executive producer on new media sites such as thinkbigworksmall.com and many others. Joining us on the line from his office in Austin, Texas, is strategist, catalyst, and Web 2.0 analyst for small business and independent salespeople, Stefan Lubinsky. Stefan, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
You worked in the restaurant and service businesses for several years, which is something I didn't know about you, actually. What golden nuggets did you take away from that experience? What did you walk away with?
Well, I think, honestly, I could probably create a whole day's program just about the things that that I learned as a server and a bartender and then a restaurant manager and all those things. But I guess one of the most important would have been thinking on my feet and would have been understanding that what you're looking to do is to provide an experience, not provide the food, not to provide the service. And that was the difference. I made more money than a lot of my counterparts did as a server because I really understood, and I think, and was more successful as a restaurant manager because I understood that what people were looking for wasn't somebody to take their order and bring their food, although we might think that's the case.
Yeah.
In fact, what people were looking for was a dining experience. And so what I help people do, and whether it's the real estate business or the mortgage business where I spend quite a bit of time, is to understand that you have to go beyond just providing the service of searching through MLS, of filling out a contract. What you want to provide is a positive experience of buying that first home or refinancing or getting that first mortgage. And often many of these things are quite painful. So I think learning that people wanted more than just function to be done, they wanted an experience, was probably one of the best lessons that I learned.
You hit on some of this maybe a moment ago, but when you consult or speak with small businesses, indie salespeople, the folks that you encounter in your consulting practice and so forth, is there a missing piece that you often find that you're so well suited to help them with, the part that they just don't intuitively get themselves?
Well, I think that part of my charm or lack thereof is kind of my upbringing in New Jersey and being kind of a pessimist and I think pretty jaded. And I think where I help people maybe codify a more effective message is to kind of be a little bit more realistic with them when I'm taking a look at what it is they're saying and to whom. And then say to them, does this really resonate with you? If you were in their shoes, I tell people, and I guess you can hit the bleep button here, but what I really try to tell people to get them to understand is, why should I give a shit about you or your business? And they really, it needs to smack them in the face. I mean, I do that purposely. I mean, I drop the swear word purposely to kind of shock them into being a bit of a different consultant and say, listen, the general public doesn't know or trust you. And I know you had Bob Berg on recently. I listened to them on Small Biz America Radio. And I, funny story, David, I was listening, and it's probably my most important axiom in sales. I think it's probably the most important sales lesson. Bob Berg is the author of it. And as you know, he said, people do business with and refer business to people they know, like, and trust.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, first of all, it's funny. The story was that I was listening to Small Business America Radio in the background while I was doing some work, and I heard somebody say the quote, and I thought to myself, oh, my God, here goes another schmuck, jumping on the Bob Berg bandwagon here. And I look up to see on the player, who is this person? And of course, the schmuck was Bob Berg himself. And so that was pretty cool to listen to the author of what I think may be the most important sales lesson of all. And at any rate, the know, like, and trust factor is really important. And so if people don't know, like, and trust you and you're messaging to them in a way that doesn't answer that or address that, if there's not a sense of reality, then I like to bring that to them and say, look, number one, are you even clear on who you're trying to address? Are you clear on who your market is? Are you clear on what their mindset is? Are you clear that they don't know you, that they understand that whatever message you're putting out there, they know that the purpose of it is to drive business. They understand that the purpose of it is for your own gain. So rightfully, they're going to distrust. Rightfully, they're going to discount that which you say, if you will. And so it's really important, if you want to capture the attention of people that don't know, like, and trust you, meaning we're not talking about networking. Often many of these clients, that we're talking about advertising or their marketing messages. And what I help them do is put themselves in the shoes of people who don't know, like, or trust, or as I said earlier, who don't really give a hoot about them. And how can you address that? How can you be honest? How can you be preemptive in your objection handling? Meaning, how can I sit here with you and say, okay, here are the first five things I'm going to think about you, or the first three things that I'm going to wonder, be curious about, or these are tentative objections. And so I'll help them address those preemptively so that we can erase those from the kind of mind's chalkboard when people are reading your marketing and they're thinking, yeah, but what about this?
Yeah,
but what about that? Well, instead, write the message such that you understand they would be thinking that way and address it.
It sounds, too, that it's a combination or a blend of sort of this collegial approach to that preparation that you're describing there. And then also, it's just about the connection, the emotional connection, some blend of all of those, I'm imagining, creating this result you're describing. Right?
The most important word you just said was emotional. And I think that through a lifetime of sales, what I've come to figure out, and I'm definitely somebody who wears my emotions on my sleeve. I mean, it's why I do broadcasting. It's why I speak from the stage. I mean, I'm definitely an emotional person. There's no doubt. Passionate. And I think that if you're going to be successful in sales, you need to be. I think if you're in small business and you don't consider yourself a salesperson, you need to start considering yourself a salesperson, and you better find and capture some of that passion, by the way, or this is going to be a really hard slog, and you really do need to believe in what you're doing, and you need to believe that the value that you bring exceeds whatever cost is associated with that purchase, be that energy, be that, you know, the actual dollar cost, et cetera. And if you're an evangelist for your own service and products, I think you can be pretty passionate. But what you said, David, about emotion is, listen, you know, looking back on a career of sales, I'll tell you that decisions are, in fact, made on emotion. Everybody listening knows that. That's why what Bob said is know, like, and trust. Those are all emotions, really. You know, they're not, you know, we don't have this threshold where we define no. We don't write, no means I have shaken hands with David Wolf. We have spoken four times on the phone plus one written email equals no. It doesn't work that way. So no is this gut feeling. I could speak to you once on the phone and decide I know you, or I could speak to you five times on the phone and not have an ounce of who you are, perhaps, and not feel that I know you at all. And that probably will be a product of that which we spoke about and how open of a book you're willing to be, and so forth. And so that concept of know, like, and trust, all of that is emotional. And people make buying decisions on emotion. Hands down, trumps any kind of, you know, the Ben Franklin approach of kind of weighing pros and cons and benefits and features and return on investment, and all of that is simply trumped by gut feel. I like this guy. I like this gal. I feel that I know this product. Whatever, I think this is going to be right for me. This feels right for me. These are how decisions are made.
Our guest is Stefan Lubinsky. That website, www.stefanlubinsky.com. And you also have another site, sellingitlikeitis.net, correct?
Yeah, I think that, you know, for anybody that, you know, wants to put themselves into a coma, then find my homepage. There's really nothing going on there. But but if, you know, if you want a nugget or two, by all means, go to sellingitlikeitis.net. I appreciate the plug. That's my blog. And follow me on Twitter. You know, sometimes I actually say something that's useful. A lot of times, it's not, but, you know, such is life.
Let's move to social media a little bit. I know you're very active with sort of strategizing around Web 2.0 and so forth. What are small business people missing about Web 2.0 in terms of the way they can leverage this medium for their small business?
Yeah, I'm so excited for small business because I really think that what Web 2.0 has done, for lack of a better kind of cliche anachronism, or social media, or just kind of this whole new emergence of this different type of net presence, right? So when we say Web 1.0, we're thinking things like Amazon and we're thinking things like Yahoo. These are places where I can buy something, or these are places where I will go and inform myself, you know.
Yeah.
And they were very much one-directional. So it was from the publisher or the owner to you. It was kind of broadcast to you. And it's exactly like television or radio. I mean, on call, on a talk-in radio show, obviously there's a sense of participation, and there are some television shows that have an element of that. But for the most part, it's a one-way conversation. What's happened with Web 2.0 is the definition of it really is this two-way street. And what that has done has truly leveled the playing field to a certain degree. The playing field will never be leveled big business to small business. Walmart will always shut down the small little mom-and-pop shop that was there before they showed up. I mean, these are just, you know, truths and realities. But leveling the field as much as possible has been this concept of Web 2.0. In fact, I would argue that small businesses can harness and take advantage of more quickly many of these technologies, because the reality is that some of these large companies operate by committee and saying, like, well, we need to do a blog, so it's 6 months in finding the right consultant, and then it goes through committees. And so it's a really long process. And smaller companies, when they can adopt and test, and that's what I want to say to the listeners here, is listen, there is no follow these four steps for your social media, you know, or I would publish those four things and make my seven figures and be done.
Yeah.
The fact is that the dog wash that I just went to, it's called Dirty Dog. It's here in Austin. Very cool. Dirty Dog, it's a place where you bring your dog and you wash your own dog. So you're not making a mess of your own home. You use all of their stuff and all. It's very cool. And I have six dogs, so this is very useful for me.
Yes.
And when we're at the front door, they say, hey, by the way, go to, you know, if you're on Facebook, please sign up for our page, become a fan of our page on Facebook, and you'll get specials and you'll get updates and there'll be coupons. Now, when you have six dogs and you're paying, you know, $15 a dog to wash them yourself, you know, these coupons are actually kind of useful. Now, think about this for a second. They don't have an autoresponder. They don't have kind of a leads capture system. They don't have any of this infrastructure.
Right.
And these guys were smart enough to realize there's a company out there that has that infrastructure called Facebook, and they signed up an account, and they created a page for themselves, and they inform their clientele that comes through here, and this is a means with which to get more repeat business, right? So now I see that, oh, okay, you've got a Facebook page. Yes, now they give me the incentive, which is that's where we will have coupons and specials. Oh, great. So I actually did go back, because I'm on Facebook anyway, and that triggered my memory. Oh, right, Dirty Dog has a Facebook. So I went and found that, and I click on the page. Now, Facebook is handling the client retention program for Dirty Dog, and it was completely free. So my point is that it's going to be different for every business, whether you're a dog washing business, whether you're an oil change business, whether you're, you know, is there going to be an oil change business out there with like a blog about things that you could do for your car maintenance, and is that going to get a lot of readership? Probably not. Probably not. There's probably better places to go for that, bigger companies or Click and Clack from NPR or whatever it is. But if they had some kind of cool blog where maybe they were posting the craziest stories that they're coming across, like the car that came in and not a drop of oil came out of it because the oil hadn't been changed since 1974, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
They took a picture, or they took a quick video with a flip camera. If you don't have a flip camera, go get one. And they took a quick video, and they posted it up to their blogger blog, which is free, or to their free WordPress blog, or maybe they're hosting their own. And now, could that get some people interested locally because it's quirky and funny and stuff like that? Sure. So really the answer, David, isn't that there is this kind of patented process that if you do these things, just get yourself a LinkedIn account, get yourself a Facebook account, start Twittering, get a blog, and it's all going to come together. That's not the case. It's very much trial and error. But here's the good news. You're in small business, you're used to trial and error. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff.
You know, you get a blog, and you blog on it, and you see if you're getting some of your people to go there. If you're not, and if they're going and they're not coming back, then your content sucks, which for the most part is the case, because we're not publishers of good content. And that's why I say you got to get creative and you got to get smart about, if I'm going to put something up there, then it's got to be interesting, or it's got to be valuable. Maybe it's just coupons. Maybe it's what Dirty Dog did. They're not trying to have some kind of like a highly trafficked dog washing blog. They came up with what their little, right now, their little strategy is.
Yeah.
Client retention. and repeat business through the use of incentives and values like coupons, and then delivering it through a new medium like Facebook, an electronic medium that costs them absolutely nothing to do.
I just wanted to dig into the coupon piece of this. Does Facebook actually have a mechanism so that a small business can create a coupon there or deliver a coupon?
I have not seen how Dirty Dog has issued a coupon yet. I went, I signed up, and I moved on. And part of that is both my ADD and my schedule just doesn't allow me to kind of really spend and peruse time on anything. But I accomplished the goal, which is good. I'll sign up and I'll get this. I think what will happen is I'll get a direct message when they want to broadcast into my inbox within Facebook. And there would simply be an announcement that might say, you know, print this out and bring it with you. So, again, could there be that there's this coupon mechanism by Facebook? There very well could be. There's also plugins, which are apps made to interface with Facebook, and that could be entirely possible. But I don't think you need to go that far. I think that if you simply just sent a blast that said, this week, all dirty dogs will be clean for $9.99 instead of $15, you know, then it served its purpose. I mean, I don't really need, in fact, better than telling me that I got to, like, print it out and waste paper and toner and ink and all that stuff. So, fact of the matter is, I think there's probably a better way to say, hey, there's a special going on. Or mention this secret code, right? Come in and say, woof, woof.
Right.
And we'll know that you got the coupon. So, there's cool and fun ways that you can do it that also kind of remain ecologically responsible.
Stephanie, the executive producer at Think Big, Work Small. I wanted to dig into what is that media, that website, but also just simply ask you, what is it about video? Why has video just become so important as a part of a sales strategy on the web?
Yeah, thanks for asking, because I mean, I could definitely go on you know, just linking Twitter and Facebook and all those things together and how they can help. But I got to say that you're right. The video is hands down the most powerful of all of these emerging strategies and technologies that have come out that kind of, you know, again, fall under this Web 2.0 heading. And let me explain it this way to you. Let me just kind of walk you through the psychology behind the why. It really doesn't have much to do with the technology. But let me explain why this is a recent development. And when I mean recent, I mean in the last few years, last two, three years now. And the reason it's recent was that video was available on the web, Dave, but it was clunky, and it was not approaching 30 frames per second. 30 frames per second is what you see on television, and 28 frames per second or 30 frames per second, depending on the company and the movie and so forth, is also the movies. And so when you see that speed of frame movement, and audio in sync, that's what we would consider in real time. We can now connect emotionally with that. So what I mean is, years ago, video was really choppy, and you remember these kind of people in front of their webcams, when webcams first came out, and so it was, like, really bad. It was like looking at film from, like, the late 1800s or turn of the century. It really was just disconnected.
Yes.
And because it was disconnected, it was both distracting, but there was some, and I don't purport to be the Freud here to explain this, but there was some aspect of it that really just didn't allow us to connect. Now, think about television and think about the movies. Everybody listening to this call, whether they want to admit it or not, has had strong emotions evoked by either television or the movies. They have cried, they have laughed, they have really done all of these different things. And yet, what is occurring is not real. Going beyond the suspension of disbelief, I'm talking about the media itself. This video is more powerful. Typically, we will have emotion evoked much more quickly and much more powerfully from video than we would, say, reading. Although certainly you can read, Tuesdays with Maury, and I'm just weeping all over the place.
Oh yeah.
But for the most part, I can, we'll connect with video a little bit more. So think about this. Beyond the fact that we understand that now we can suspend disbelief, we can really get a sense of connection, we can get a sense of reality, let's think about this on a sales plane. We all know in small business and in sales that the greatest conversion, the highest and best use of a salesperson's time is face-to-face. And the reason is because of that word relationship, right? I mean, you're physically present, you've looked in each other's eyes, you have touched each other, because in how we learn and how we develop social bonds, it goes to the modalities of audio, visual, and kinesthetic, right? And kinesthetic being touch. So when we're in person, all three are incorporated. We can hear them, we can see them, we can shake their hand or hug them or whatever. And these are things that make a stronger bond, leading us down the path of know, like, and trust. I'm telling you, Bob Berg, in my opinion, that know, like, and trust really is it. It's the ultimate, it's like the Bible verse, that's it.
It really does loop back to that, even though we're talking about video at the moment. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead, please continue.
Yeah, so the next stage is think about this, think about familiarity, okay? So when you go out to eat with your wife and perhaps the local news celebrity sits down at a table next to you, and there's this sense of, oh, look who it is, and maybe you even have an emotion about it. Maybe you say, oh, I really can't stand that guy. And your wife would say, but you don't even know him. And yet you feel like you do. Why? Because of familiarity, because that person 5 days a week is in your life if you watch that particular channel. 5 days a week, this person spends 30 minutes or an hour with you. That's incredible. Now, you actually develop, believe it or not, a relationship. You form opinions about this person and emotions and so on and so forth. So now when we go and we translate back to sales, I'm not purporting that video makes people celebrities and it's a celebrity factor. It's the familiarity factor. And that's really what celebrity is. It's heightened hyper-familiarity. So when we go back to know, like, and trust, what we understand is the best possible way to do our business would be to go out there and meet every single prospect and prospective referral partner face-to-face, but we know that's just not possible, it's not efficient, it doesn't scale, and we can't be successful in this hyper-competitive environment if we're to meet, or very few of us, I should say. There are certainly people who do all of their business face-to-face, and they will close more deals than people who spend their time on their phone, or God forbid, people who don't even get to that level of intimacy, which is the audio intimacy. Maybe they do everything on the internet, via text, via emails, and so forth, the lowest level of intimacy. So in video, what happens is, because it's 30 frames per second now, because now you can have real-time video, real-time sound on the internet, what you can do is insert yourself back into your marketplace, literally. Now the audience is not simply looking at emails that you're sending or going to some website, or perhaps you got sucked into that concept in the 90s where it was all about brand. It's all about brand. You know what? People don't do business with a brand, and they don't do business with a company unless you're dealing with commodities like Nike. Okay, then you're a Reebok person or you're a Nike person, typically. I mean, it's not necessarily what shoes on sale. That's what I do, but a lot of people have this brand identity. You know what? When you're at that level, that's fine. But I think the people listening, I don't think Nike's on the call today. I don't think Pepsi's with us. So if you're a small business, don't get caught up in that kind of big business mentality of brand. And those that teach you, the brand is you. Well, that's right. That's right. You. And to put you back into the marketplace is to put video and deliver your message. What we teach at Think Big, Work Small is on a consistent basis. Maybe for some people that's once a month. For others, it's once a week. Now, we put out a daily show. You can, for those of you listening that just want to see what this looks like, you can go to www.tbwsdaily.com. That's short for Think Big, Work Small, tbwsdaily.com. So we put a show out every day, 5 days a week, every business day, with some information primarily for the real estate professional who makes up the bulk of our clients, and then a sales tip and so forth. Well, what happens with that, obviously, just like that newscaster, is people get to know, like, and trust us. And then they do business. They want to buy from Think Big, Work Small so that we don't have to really sell. It was Jeffrey Gittimer who said, and I'm paraphrasing horribly, again, kind of the ADD, I just can't remember things, but, you know, he said, you know, nobody likes to be sold. You know, people love to buy. And again, I've really massacred that, but I think you get the point.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And that's kind of what we're trying to do, which is, you know, if you just like us enough, that you want to investigate what it is that we do and how we do it, and if it satisfies your needs, then you're going to want to buy instead of us having to sell. And I really think that right there is a powerful lesson for small business. How can you help people buy from you instead of you having to sell to them?
So at Think Big, Work Small, that's one of the activities. You're teaching and showing people how to use video. The core business over there is what?
The core, it's a, it's it's a really interesting hybrid model because we were born in such a battered market. I mean, arguably, right, the worst economic environment since the 30s was when we kind of, hello, world, so that wasn't the greatest timing. So we're two things. On one side, we're an educational resource. As executive producer, I interview experts in the fields that we believe are germane to small business success. So that's one side, accessing the archives of our podcasts and our shows and all of this content that you have access to that, again, is about success in one shape or another. It does not have to just be, we don't just teach about blogging and LinkedIn and Facebook and all of these things. We had a voice coach on. To talk about, you know, how important your voice is when you're presenting or even talking over the phone and tonality and all of these things. So anything that I, as executive producer, there's no committee here, think is germane to salespeople. If I think it's interesting, going back to that jaded kind of guy who's really not interested in much, if I go, you know what, that's interesting, that could probably help me, then I feel that it's probably going to help my members, my audience. And so there's that. The second half of our business is the world's only database-driven video CRM. And for those of you who don't know what a CRM is, it means customer relationship management. And think of like a Salesforce.com meets a private YouTube. So what we have created is an ability for people to do database marketing, which is terribly important, terribly powerful. And rather than doing database marketing with email that, first of all, nobody's reading, and second of all, has the lowest level of intimacy and does not create bonds of emotion and know, like, and trust, do it with video. And what our system enables people to do, in addition to training about what kind of video and how to be successful at it, what not to do and all of those things, but just from a technology perspective, once those videos have gone out, you can go into the system and track who's viewed them. And so I'll leave this with a thought for your listeners. Most small business people, most salespeople, truly most, I would say in the upper 90 percentile, hate cold calling. Really don't like cold calling. But cold calling is important, whether it's to get yourself a new vendor, a new partner, a new client. It's important to reach out to people that you don't know. So think about this for a second. I would say that the definition of cold calling is not calling somebody that you don't know. Rather, it is calling somebody who does not know you. And so I'll give you an example. Oprah Winfrey. One day I hope Oprah is going to give me a call. I hope I've achieved something so monumental that Oprah would like me on the show. And in fact, maybe it's not even one of her producers that's going to call. She's going to call me herself. Now, does Oprah Winfrey have any apprehension, any kind of butterflies in her stomach? Oh, dear, I'm calling Stefan Leminski. I don't know Stefan. That's a cold call. I don't know Stefan. But it's Oprah Winfrey. So she's pretty confident that I know her. She's pretty confident that I know her. You see, these people aren't fearless that they can pick up a phone and call any cold call, and they're unlike us. The difference is their knowledge that the person at the other end of the phone knows them. And that is the true cold call. And when you realize that, if I'm sending videos out to my database, to my prospects, and maybe it's about a specific thing that I want to talk about, and then I know that they've watched it because I've gone in the system, I've seen that it's been viewed, then don't I know that they have seen me, not read an email. They've seen me. They've heard me. In my mind, they know me a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit, enough that when I call, I have removed that apprehension that I'm calling somebody who does not know me. They listen to the message that I perfected. That's another huge point about video, by the way, David. Is control of your message. You know, if we have to speak and give pitches all day long, the old 80-20 rule, Pareto's principle, would probably dictate that only 20% of those verbal presentations you made were dead on. And 80% run the gamut from crappy to okay. What if you could take the time to nail it, to capture that 20% where you were solid, but deliver that to 100% of the prospect?
Tremendous leverage.
Unbelievable power, both in efficiency, right? How many fewer phone calls am I having now? And by the way, what phone calls am I having? Phone calls with people that A, listened to my previous message, and B, listened to the message that I nailed. So when I do my conversation, so that phone time that I'm spending now is what? With what? Qualified prospects. So I nail my presentation. I reduce my apprehension over calling people that I don't know because I know that they know me. They also know what I'd like to talk about. And I've given myself the best foot in the door possible. Just quickly, another great benefit of video from an efficiency perspective is how many of your listeners today answer the same questions every single day from prospects. Some of those listeners were smart enough to create an FAQ on their website. The problem is nobody's going to their website, and nobody's reading their FAQs. For those of you questioning that, that I could so cavalierly put out that nobody's going to your website, hook up Google Analytics for free to your website and see how many people are clicking on your FAQ page.
Yeah.
I'll argue slim to none. So what if you were able to create a series of high-touch videos that enable people to ask their questions of you, get the answers from you in a high-touch personal way, really from you? Hey, this is Stefan. You know, I'm asked all the time about blah, 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 you know, how much it costs to work with me or how long or what I do or whatever it is. And hey, here's the answer. And check out my other answers to questions here in my archive. So, again, from an efficiency perspective, video allows me to deliver high-touch, personal, great information in the way that people are wanting to consume. And just to hammer that point home, YouTube serves up 100 million videos a day. Not a year, not a day. It was estimated that in 2007, I want to get this right, in 2007, YouTube consumed as much bandwidth as the entire internet from the year 2000.
Yes.
Okay, so the consumption of video is insane. People in the United States especially watch, they don't read. So then why are we trying to deliver our most important messages in a format that people have roundly rejected?
Mm.
So give them what they want. And what they want is video.
I love the way you frame that.
That use video. Another great example is using video for product demonstrations and homemade in a way. Go to horse.com. Horse.com is country supply. I have horses. I live out on a little bit of a ranch here, and I need to buy horse stuff. Well, the great thing, and the reason I do business with Horse.com is because I want to reward them for giving me a better customer experience, meaning I did not then go to other websites and look for a lower price for this product. Let me explain why. Because when you click on many of their thousands and thousands of products, they will have an associated video that they themselves have made with a camcorder or whatever, and it'll be a video of the blanket or of the new buckles or of the widget or whatever the thing does. It doesn't matter. And so I'm so appreciative of that because maybe there's a how-to portion of it. The best way to use this product is to do this, that, and the other thing. I'm appreciative because they're giving me a high customer experience level, and so I'm going to reward them. I didn't go shop them, and that's the mindset you want. You want other people like me to say, oh, thank you for making this a better experience. This is what I'm looking for. I'm willing to pay perhaps a dollar or two more or whatever it might be for the product. So go and check out horse.com and see how adding some, depending on what you do, how adding some homemade explanatory videos about the product and how it works or how you work or whatever it is. It's a great, great opportunity. And I want to just quickly recommend a product for those people that don't have a very simple video recorder is get a flip camera, FLIP. You can go to Costco. They're about $175. Okay, they're inexpensive. They are super, super easy to use. And it just the reason it's called flip is a USB plug flips open, and you can plug it right into your computer. So you can capture video all over the place, and it's digital. If you don't like what you captured, throw it away. Throw it away.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway.
Beautiful stuff.
That's my pitch on why video is incredibly powerful, and that's why ultimately I think big work small. Although we teach all kinds of stuff about Web 2.0, we hang our hat on video.
Oh, it's beautiful. Stefan, I know we'll do this again. Stefan Lubinsky has been our guest for this segment. That website, www.stefanlubinsky with an I.com. Also, sellingitlikeitis.net for the blog. And Think Big, Work Small. He is the executive producer there, where they combine CRM with video, create an astoundingly impressive and effective way to get your message out and connect emotionally and personally with your audience and your market. Stefan, thanks so much for joining us on the Small Biz Brain.
Hey, it's always my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, and good luck to everybody out there.
Thanks. I know we'll do it again.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Online at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.